Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, fellow slaves of the global plantation, and hermaphrodites. The Vinnie Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but so much worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show, where the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child-trafficking Satanists is Vinnie's jokes. And today, ladies and gentlemen, we have a few things on the cards. We're trying to connect with our guest, Nick Bush, who just had an encounter with the police. And when Nick connects, we'll go on there. Here we are. We've got him. All right, Nick. So, it's good, mate. One moment, please. Okay, Nick. Welcome. You're still busy getting set up there?
Sorry. Last minute. How's that looking?
It's looking all right. And right, we've got you. It's all good. Now, we're going to go into the play this video. It's like a 17-minute video or so, but before we go into it, would you be able to give people a bit of a brief before we watch this, and then we'll have a discussion after?
Yes, well, just 1 second. I'm just going to turn off my phone so you know we don't get phone call.
It's usually the best idea for live radio.
It's bound to happen.
Yeah, we organised this one in the last 20 minutes, folks, so give us a wee bit of a break. Yeah. All right, Nick, fire away, mate.
Rundown on what actually happened or transpired about 3 weeks ago here. And over the last few years, I've had a few run-ins with the cops, and not quite as bad as you, Vinny. but haven't been arrested yet. But I'll tell you what, these people are just slowly but surely moving in the wrong direction. I've always tried to say, you know, come and join us on the freedom side. But this is the next level. This is next level stuff, guys. My children live with their mum about 5 or 10 minutes away. And so Vinnie was around here one weekend, and it was obviously during the summertime, and let's get outside. And I wanted to put the tent up because I wanted to go camping. But because at his mum's place, he always is on the computer. He's constantly on the computer. So I'm like, get off the computer, come on, get outside, come on, for about an hour. And then I said, right, that's it. I was actually getting quite pissed off, to be honest. And get in the car, I'm taking you home. So we drove home in silence to his mum's place, and I wanted to make sure that she backed me up, that she wasn't going to let him go straight back on the computer, right? And made it clear that if he wanted to go back to Dad's place, then you had to behave himself. So I went up to the door, and she didn't want to talk to me. She's like, oh, you know. She's quite a horrible, not very nice person, but anyway. So I said, don't let him back on the computer, and drove home. 20 minutes later, there's a loud knock at the front door. And I saw who it was, and I thought, I'm not one to back down with these guys. And I've also trespassed them off the property during COVID, right? And that's something you can do. Actually, in the Christchurch Post, there was a guy down there that trespassed the cops, right? So made sure that he had a sign up saying trespass, and also trespassed the station and the individuals. I think you've got to do it individually, right? And he actually won through court, because he took these cops to court, and they were found guilty of willingly trespassing on his property. And he had them on video. He wasn't at home at the time. But anyway, so I went out and confronted these guys. And I lost the plot, okay? I was very upset. and this is not how I normally approach cops, but yeah, it is what it is. And I encourage all other people to make sure you video them, video the police, and don't take a step backwards, because they have proven themselves over the last 4 years. Since Christchurch, I will say that the Christchurch mass murder was part of COVID. Well, maybe we can talk about a bit more about that in the US State Department after we watch this, and different people that are here in New Zealand, and different how they're manipulating our society and country. They've already captured us, but you know. Yeah, so there you go. That's what happened, and then the cops came around. So you can roll the video now.
Thanks, Nick. All right, let's get into it. We've got this little video here. I'm going to share my screen as well with you, Nick, so you can see what we're watching while we're watching it. And if you want to jump out and say anything or stop the video to add some commentary, you just go right ahead with that. So here we go. Let me see if I can do that proper.
What do you want? Get the fuck off.
Hold on, I'm just going to pause it just for a moment, because Nick can't actually hear the video while we're playing it for him, so we'll just sort that out. Because I do want to remind people that this is a listener-supported show, and what you're about to hear may involve some coarse language. In fact, there was just some right there, and as Nick said, he was very upset.
Before you do, you carry on. I'll tell you why I was upset, right? Because over the last few years, right, it's almost impossible to get these guys to do anything, right? I had P-heads in this house, right? They knew they were P-heads. They are well known around the district. Unfortunately, I'm a bit of a, I don't swing in those circles, and I didn't know who these people were, and I let them into my property and rented it. The reason I mentioned was because of the mandates. it was Jacinda Ardern's fault, or was it my own? Oh, it's a bit of both, I suppose, but I should have vetted them more vigorously. And so I rented my house out in December of 2022, just before we went to Wellington, right? And these guys were in here for 198 days, and they did $65,000 worth of damage. The whole house had to be stripped out. All the carpets that I just laid down for them had to be, you know, taken away in a skip. And these police officers, they wouldn't lift a finger, right? They wouldn't help. But I'll actually tell you something else about these guys here in Wairuku as well. So previous to COVID, I was sort of housebound for about 3 years, waiting, having spinal operations and waiting for spinal operations, right? And so I was taking some sort of quite heavy medication. And one day I needed to buy some petrol in a red can down at the petrol station. So I went down and I filled that up. And I spilt some on the can as I was doing it. So I went in and paid, and then I jumped back in my car and drove home. By the time I got home, I left it on the forecourt. It was 5 minutes there, 5 minutes back, right? And, you know, with the Z petrol stations, there's cameras everywhere, right? So we hunted around, and we found it was actually the next guy that came and just picked it up and put it in his trunk, and away he went, right? So we knew who he was. He had his car rego and everything, and his image on the film. And so I rang up the Manukau police station. I said, oh, look, you know, this is the guy, rego, blah, blah, blah. And they go, oh, yeah, we know who that guy is. We know him. We know his address. We'll send someone around there to get your property, Mr. Bush. I thought, excellent. Great service from the New Zealand police. About 2 weeks later, I received a letter saying, oh, due to resource constraints, we will not be taking this any further, right? So fast forward another 6 months, and I'm down at the same petrol station, and I I must have been a little bit out of it because I filled up my car, I walked in, had a pee, and walked out again, right? Because I was taking these pain meds, right? A week later, there was a loud knock at the door. I went, oh, geez, what's that? That's not a normal knock. Better go and see this. It was the local police officer, right? He says, Mr. Bush, you didn't pay for your petrol. I said, oh, sorry. Really? Didn't I? Oh, so yes, we've got you on CCTV down at the Z petrol station. There's $120. You need to go down there right now and pay for it. Or we'll take it further. And I went, oh, of course. You know, I always pay my bills. And, you know, if that's the case, then that's fine. I'm sorry. And I explained to him, and I got my 3D model of my spine out and showed him what was going on and all that. And but then I thought to myself, because he's walking back to the car, and said, hang on a minute, mate. Hang on. Just wait there. And I ran in and got the letter from the cops from when they wouldn't action someone stealing petrol from the forecourt. They knew who he was, right? I said, hang on a minute. Well, you're coming around here on a Monday morning and doing debt collection for Z petrol stations. Would you like to go and get my petrol from 6 months ago, please? Because you know who this guy is, and you know, but you refuse to come. The reason they were coming around to my place is because I live in a nice leafy street and I'm the low-hanging fruit, aren't I? But the other thing about that is, where the hell do the New Zealand police get off debt collecting for Z Energy? Where? Because I asked them at the time, I said, what are you doing? Oh, and on a Mondays we go around we go around to the Z and ask if there's anyone for the driveway. And I said, well, that's you're doing debt collection for me. Can you go and get some debt collection for me? Oh no, we only do it for Z. So you'll know all about this, Vinny. So who owns Z Energy? Well, it used to be 51% owned by New Zealand government, right? Or the Reserve Bank, I think. That was after John Key had sold the hydroelectric part of it to international buyers, BlackRock and Deep State and Co. That was 10 years ago when my son was born. I would have loved to buy $1,000 worth of shares, but we were broke. So anyway, subsequently, they sold the rest of Z, didn't they? And who bought Z Energy? It was an Australian firm, Ampol. Okay? And who owns Ampol? Vanguard owns Ampol. So the New Zealand state has sold Z Energy, which is a massive company, been going from 1890, I think, good 130 years. It was a state-owned energy company from almost the inception of New Zealand. And the state sold it to BlackRock, Vanguard and Co. And the New Zealand police were actually doing debt collection for that Z Energy firm. So, that's pretty much, well, that's a little example of the New Zealand police, right? So they're very quick to go and help their friends, but if you're a normal citizen in New Zealand, forget it, right? They will come around, and you'll see in the video now, we can probably carry on now, video.
All right, well, let's get this puppy under the whistle. It's going to be great. Folks,
so oh, you're embarrassed, to be honest, but you know,
bear in mind, ladies and gentlemen,
let's show New Zealand, because I'm a great one for showing New Zealand what the police are doing, right? Let them embarrass themselves by their actions.
Okay. Fuck off, get the fuck off my property right now. Right. Yep,
what were you doing at your
ex? You would like to identify yourself.
Yeah, well, I'm Constable Marshall, and this is Constable Ford.
And your number?
And our number?
Yep.
And our phone number?
No, your QID code.
QID, I'll read it.
Yep. And you?
My shoulder.
What's your name?
Constable Fulton.
First name?
I don't need to give you my first name.
Almost escorting you off the property now. Now come over here.
You want to talk to us about the trespass at your ex-wife's place?
I know nothing about that. I've never seen any trespass. Right.
You've been trespassed from there.
Would you just like to stop it there, Vinny?
Yeah. Oh.
Okay, so just for the audience, I've made a big mistake here now, right? I've started talking to them. Don't never talk to the police, right? So, but probably what I did wrong in this whole situation is I didn't talk to myself prior to engaging with these people, right? You should always make a plan. You should always say, this is what I'm going to do and this is what I'm not going to do in your head, right? And try to sort of control yourself, because I'll be honest, I lost my cool, didn't I, right? So you don't want to lose your cool with these assholes. But, and then, so they, I was escorting them back to the car there, and what I should have done is I shouldn't have engaged with them, right? Don't listen to what they say, just take them back to the car and see them on their way, right? Don't speak to the police. And so now you'll hear me speak to them for about another 15 minutes. So don't do what I do. Okay. But anyway, away you go.
All right, let's get this underway.
Ivan, there's been no documentation, nothing, right? There's been verbal, but no documentation. So you guys haven't popped around, or she hasn't popped around with a piece of paper. So there's no going on. No, nothing.
Verbally trespassing.
A verbal trespass.
Anyway, so you guys got all the time in the world to come around here and inject yourself into a little thing with my son, right? Where I can't get him off the computer because she just lets him sit on the computer all the fucking time. I'm trying to do good dad stuff with him this afternoon, right? And he won't get off the computer. So no, you're just straight round here to hassle, you know, low-hanging fruit like myself.
So is that what happened this afternoon?
That's what I just told you. And you know what started all this bullshit, right? Is because you guys, about 4 years, 5 years ago, were called by her parents, and they made false allegations against me about me threatening the female, right? Right? He came around here, I invited you inside, right? Not you two personally. And I had a little cry on the couch, right? And said, you know, this is what's happening, I've been sick, I've had spinal operations and that. And you know what? You guys didn't even write my statement down, did you? Because everything you touch turns to shit. You know that, because everything you do, day on, day out, always turns to fucking shit, right? Over my interactions with you guys, you New Zealand police guys for the last 35 years or whatever, on and off since I started work, about 18, you've all got it wrong every fucking time. But you're around here instantaneously when I'm trying to have fun with my son, right?
I'm going to interject here. If you've got concerns of what happened 4 years ago, you're more than welcome.
No, you can fuck off.
The IPCA.
You guys are pieces of fucking filth.
This is a reminder.
No, you're fucking filth. There's 90 people a week dying in New Zealand, right? Where are you guys? Where are you guys? You're down in Wellington beating up protesters, right? Where are you guys? You're working as a mechanism of coercion to get everyone jabbed up. Now there's a shed with 90 people in it every week. But no, it's distributed.
I was working up here, but yeah.
Yeah. You're working as the coercion mechanism for the people that are fucking trying to kill everyone.
I'm going to jump in as well about the trespass. Your ex doesn't want to make a statement. We're coming here just to let you know.
Yeah, instantaneously. Why don't you go and investigate some of the people that have been jabbing people up, right? Fucking bastards, eh? You guys. How can you fucking sleep at night?
A timely reminder, you've also been trespassed from 14.
What?
You've also been trespassed from 14, by the
way. So 14, what? Was that their... 14 Bowden as well. Was that their price? I don't even know their place. I don't even know the address, mate. But you guys are really fucking, you know, how do you sleep at night?
Pretty well. Are you going
around? Right, you sleep it well by you guys coercing people and taking the jab, and now people are dropping dead.
If you just want to 40% stop it
more than they should be. Okay. Yeah? You know, you're laughing.
I can't actually hear the video. I can't actually hear the audio on this at the moment, but you see this guy in front of you, right? He seemed to be the more senior person. And you might have noticed that over the last 3 years, all these guys are in their 20s. They're all new out of the police college. I don't know why anyone would join the New Zealand police, to be honest, because they've proven themselves to be traitors to New Zealanders. They're meant to be there doing police, policing by consent. And what has happened since Ardern and Costa, and even prior to that under Bush, under Mike Bush, and that, these people have become basically authoritarians, right? They should be upholding the New Zealand Bill of Rights, right, and not following illegal orders that the state have been putting upon New Zealanders, you know, basically cancelling the New Zealand Bill of Rights. So, but that particular guy, right, after they left my place, he went round to my ex-wife's property and spoke directly to my son. And he said to my son, "Your dad's trying to brainwash you." Just let that sink in for a second, right? These bastards have got nothing else, but they are willing to weaponize the relationship between a son and a father, a broken family, against me, against New Zealanders. These guys are so filthy, it's unbelievable. How would he like it if I went around to his house and spoke to his children and said, your dad's a traitor to New Zealanders. Your dad possibly went to Wellington and beat up peacefully assembling New Zealanders that wanted their mandates removed, but the New Zealand police leveraged what the New Zealand public was doing and to have their mandates removed. And once that was achieved, they assembled up to 1,000 police and violently attacked peacefully assembling people. They metaphorically threw New Zealanders into the mandate or the gas chamber mandates, right? Which may actually have the same effect, because this is a slow kill weapon. This could kill people people will be passing away. And it seems to be happening at an accelerated rate, right? Like last year was 14% excess mortality in New Zealand, and I think it's something like 25 or 24% lower birth rate. So they're getting it from both ends. They're getting the elderly people, and they're stopping births at the other end. But that's how filthy these bastards are. They are willing to speak to a 10-year-old and try to wreck the relationship. It's actually quite good, because the first time after 48 hours after they told me I couldn't speak to Flynn for 48 hours, the first thing my son said to me was, "Oh, sorry, Dad, I should have just got off the computer, eh?" I said, "Yeah, you should have, mate. You know, we've got the summertime, right?" But these guys are so filthy, they will try to use that relationship or break that relationship. They've already by not doing their job correctly, they already have destroyed my relationship with my daughter. There's maybe another story I can tell you about after we watch a video. Okay.
I think it's pretty horrific what they do, and they deserve everything that they get, really, at the end of the day.
Yeah, because it's funny.
No, it's not. It's not. It's like finding a fucking shed with 90 bodies down in Otau on Monday.
It's a bit dramatic.
People dying. Are you not worried about people dying in New Zealand? They're being murdered.
Are you planning on going back to your ex-wife today?
What do you think? I'm going to try and make up with my son, right, tomorrow, once he's cooled down a bit. But she's fucking toxic, and I was trying to get him off the computer and do some summer stuff this afternoon, right? Yep. That's what he does at her place, right? And I can't believe you guys come around here, mate. Fuck you guys, man. Fuck you. You know?
Okay, because it's attitude yourself.
You know what?
Right now you're detained for a police safety order, okay?
What?
You're detained for a police safety
order. Am I arrested?
You're detained. Okay.
I'm detained on my own property, am I? Yeah. What is that? Oh, that's not being arrested. Are you arresting me?
No.
Okay, fine. You're not arresting me. You're free to leave. I've already warned you. Get the fuck off my property.
Order, okay? So just...
You guys are fucking filth.
Okay.
You know you guys are filth. Do you know it?
Well, due to the fact you've been detained, there's a little bit of a process we'll go through.
Okay. So detained. Like you've been detained. No, are you arresting me? I'll be going back. No, don't.
If you walk
don't.
Away, you will be put in cuffs, okay? You
have but custody or arresting?
That means you cannot leave, okay?
I'm on my own property, thank you very much. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. No, I haven't.
Police safety order, and in 2 minutes.
Don't touch me.
You have been detained.
I haven't touched you.
If you try and walk away, then you will be put in cuffs, okay? It means you
cannot
leave.
I'm right here. Cool. Are you going to stay here?
Well, you guys are physically, you know, not being rough yet, but fucking hell, fuck you guys. Yeah. Okay, what do you want to do? Tell me, do your little, he's got a gun on his hip too, I didn't even notice. Mm-hmm. And what about you? Oh, you've got a firearm as well. Mm-hmm. You've come around here with firearms. Mm-hmm. Fuck you guys.
We've got a process to go through. You've been detained, it means you cannot leave, it means you cannot walk away.
I'm on my fucking property. That's why I fucking live.
Due to the fact you've been detained. You can, well,
nothing. Yes,
okay. So your Bill of Rights are as follows. You have the right to remain silent. You don't have to make
just stop it there, buddy. This guy doesn't even know what the Bill of Rights are. he's telling me he's reading me my Bill of Rights. He's reading me my rights, but it's not my Bill of Rights. He has no idea. These people aren't even educated when they go to police college about our rights, right? Our Bill of Rights. That should be supreme law, but been cancelled by globalist scum. Anyway, can carry on. Yeah, this guy must be just fresh out of. When I asked him for his QID code, he thought I was asking for his phone number. Anyway, carry on.
All right. One moment, please, folks. There we go.
It's in court. The right to speak with a lawyer without delaying in private before deciding whether to answer any questions. The police have a list of lawyers you may speak to for free.
Right, I'm hoping, you've done this afternoon is you've just shown New Zealand. You've shown New Zealand exactly what a pack of cunts you are, right?
Right, okay.
Right? So you've instantaneously come around for a little thing with my son.
So
fuck you guys.
So a police safety order is basically, it's an order in place that's directed by us police. It means you cannot go around to 216 Howden or have any interaction with your ex-partner or your son for a period of time that will be determined.
Oh, fuck you guys. Paper, really? Okay? Yeah, oh, is that right? Is that in New Zealand? Mm-hmm. These guys can just say, don't go and see your son,
so
right?
Give you the piece of paper and have all that information on there.
Oh, it's got nothing to do. You're interjecting yourself into a thing with my son, mm-hmm. right? How do you feel about that?
How do you feel about the fact that you're going around there and harassing your family?
I'm not. No, I wanted to talk to her. I told you I wanted to talk to her about him being on the computer the whole time, right? And he wouldn't get off the computer, right?
You know,
and then
you know you can call her or you can speak to her some other way.
I was dropping him back home, you fucking idiot.
You know you've been trespassed from the property.
No, well, no, not officially.
Yes,
no.
As you've already told us, and as you've recorded yourself telling us, she's verbally told you you're trespassed.
Oh yeah.
Back, okay.
Yeah, and I've verbally told you guys you're fucking trespassed mm-hmm. as well. Told Dean Burrell, I actually
told you that you've been detained for a police safety order, so we're now filling it out, okay?
You guys are fucking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, tough, eh? Look at him. Yeah, tough boy. Mm-hmm. Wearing those. Why do you wear vests? Oh, just tell New Zealand why you wear vests.
Why not? Why do you wear New Zealand conservative t shirts?
Because it's an old t shirt and I've been rolling around in the on the grass today, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, so is it because you're doing things that people might want to, you know, shoot you for? You know what's happening? Mm-hmm. Your management are manipulating you because they're making you wear that. It's a little routine you go through every day, right? Mm-hmm. And you see your mate here with a vest on. Mm-hmm. No one wants to shoot you, but you've and I'd like to know why you got a firearm today, because police are not generally having firearms.
No. However, we will carry firearms in situations where we determine and that they're required.
Yeah. And how did you do that?
We're not going to speak about that.
It's an operational, can't give away operational stuff. So it's basically you against the New Zealand public, is it?
The public seem to like us.
Yeah.
It seems to just be you.
What's that?
The majority of the public seem to like us. It seems to mostly be.
No, they haven't been fucked over by you yet. But they probably will be at some stage because you're just a pack of drones that'll take any sorts of orders. You'll work to suppress the New Zealand Bill of Rights, you know? You'll lock people in their houses. What's that?
You realise I just gave you the Bill of Rights,
right? No, New Zealand Bill of Rights.
Yeah, that's
right. Do you know what the New Zealand Bill of Rights is? It's, you know, you can refuse medical treatment.
I just read to you.
Yeah.
It's an excerpt from New Bill of Rights.
Okay, good on you, yeah. So obviously you don't hire that in high esteem, do you?
Well, we uphold them, so yeah.
No, you don't.
Don't we?
No. There was peacefully assembling protesters in Wellington. What did you do? Were you part of that?
No, I wasn't actually.
So when did you join the police?
Oh, it's been a while now.
Yeah, no sort of obfuscation of an answer there, you know? Yeah, these guys, professional liars basically, obfuscators, can't give you a straight answer about anything. Yeah, but why do you think you wear a bulletproof vest now?
Bulletproof vest?
Yeah.
Well, because I got issued it. I think it looks quite nice, don't you?
Well, it makes you look all tough and beefy, yeah, you know? Makes you look, another 10 kgs heavier. Yeah.
It is about 10 kgs heavier, to be honest.
What's that?
It is about 10 kgs.
Yeah, makes you, you know, makes you wish. It's all about it. It's about intimidation, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
So you can walk in there and go, you know, we're big guys. Mm-hmm. Yep. So you don't really respect the New Zealand Bill of Rights, do you? Because you are still working in an organisation that went down there and beat up peacefully assembling protesters, right?
You respect trespass orders out of curiosity because you realise they are legally binding. And do I need to
I haven't got a trespass from anyone, right?
You've already told us that you have.
Oh no, she talks a lot of stuff, right? But if she's filled in a form and delivered, had someone deliver it around here, that would have been fine, right?
Like,
but no,
you,
there's been all sorts of talk, you know. It's a family relationship, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's been all sorts of, you know, yelling and screaming. So yeah. But anyway, I wanted to talk to about her.
How did you trespass Dean?
I wrote him a trespass order and took it down to the local station.
Where'd you find the trespass order?
I just printed it out from online, and you know you can do that. Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right.
Which site would you have downloaded that from?
What's that?
Which site did you download?
Oh, it was ages ago, mate. I can't remember. You know, so, you know, that's all it has to be is a piece of paper with, you know, names and addresses and all that, right? Mm-hmm. But you guys don't seem to really give a fuck, do you? So you just, you know, yeah. So now you're going to, now let's just clear this up. You're going to stop me, you're going to stop me, no, don't change the subject. You're going to stop me because I want to, you're going to stop me from going around and making up with my son, right? And telling him why he's in trouble, right?
For 48 hours.
Oh, 48 hours. Okay, thank you. All right. Oh, yeah.
Like we said, the piece of paper will explain it all once we give it to you.
Okay, fine. Now they'll probably give him enough to cool down, right?
That is the idea.
Yeah.
Now, as we were saying, the giant billboard in the front yard.
Yeah.
Are you...
Well, I'm COVID... I'm trying to lockdown-proof my income, mate. Because, you know, you guys have proven that you'll enforce illegal laws, right? So and force people to stay at home.
Are you saying you're a promoter of the races? Or?
No, it's just one of my clients, right?
Oh, okay.
You know? And, what was your names again?
Oh, you've got it.
You can just...
No, what was... one of you guys called me yesterday. What was his name? You guys arrested the guy that I chased there that was breaking into vehicles at the Cosy Club, right? A Maori bloke. And you apparently arrested him not yesterday, the day before.
I don't recall.
Yeah, well, is it?
Lots of people get arrested.
Yeah. Oh, well, you did well there. But you know, what about the guys that have destroyed my house? $60,000 worth of damage they did, right? You guys knew that they were pea heads, right? And you won't touch them, right?
Anyway, as we were saying.
Yeah.
The police station
order. So it expires on Wednesday at this time. After that, you're free to, you're still trespassed, but you're allowed to be able to contact your son at that point. So this is enforced for 2 days. You can't contact Ashley or Flynn directly or indirectly. So by phone.
Oh, you're coming. He did this to a lady in in Dunedin, and she rang her boyfriend up to say, oh look, could you just like let it go, mate? And then you chucked her in the clink for 2 nights.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Jeez. No one else to, you know.
So yeah, that is the consequence
of breaching it, is you will be arrested and taken to the cells. Do you understand that?
Okay, yeah, alright, yeah.
So as part of this, you get a nice piece of it. It's got all the information on there.
You got any questions?
Why did you bring a firearm around here?
No,
or bring two.
Explained it before.
What? What's it? No, you didn't.
Yeah, it's part of our PCA.
So now, New Zealand police have now all got firearms. So basically, you're like American police.
In the vehicles, yeah.
Yep. And you felt that you had to bring them out to come and talk to me at the door, did you?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Why is that? What, do you think I've got firearms? You know I don't have a firearm. You know I don't. I
don't believe you do, but before I met you, there was information to lead to believe that you were.
Oh, no, so you're going right back to all the rubbish
on,
that
just stop
that
it there.
You came around here after Christchurch because I said something online.
Just go back a minute. He said there was information to... I didn't actually pick that bit up, but just go back a little bit, and he said, "Oh, there was information that Grace Holder said you did have a firearm."
I don't believe you do, but before I met you, there was information to lead to believe that you were.
Oh no, so you're going right back to all the
just stop
the,
that for a
the rubbish.
We might want to discuss that. So maybe we can talk about the surveillance state that's slowly closing in all around us. So these guys, you know, so how do they make that decision? Oh, we're going to bring a firearm to Napoleon Bush's or Nick Bush's place. You have to just shake your head, mate, because like this is 15 years ago, right? Remember when Helen Clark and John Key got together and they said, oh, we're going to do anti-smacking, and no one really wanted to do that, but they said, oh, we've got to protect the tiny minority of children that are beaten to death, right? So they said no any smack, right? Okay, so you can't smack. So we've embraced that, and we don't smack kids anymore, right? So now it's come to the point where I bundle my 10-year-old into the car, take him home as a disciplinary matter. They then escalate that to a armed police visit. You have to. What do you think of that, Benny?
It seems to me that they're just looking for any excuse to come and harass you, Nick, because you've kind of become a bit of a thorn in the side with your billboards helping out.
Thank you very much. Yes, I that's what my job is.
That's the idea. And so basically, they just make things up and they look for any opportunity. This is a criminal organization that is trying to destroy and harass and derail and discourage any person who exposes or stands up to their criminal organization. Now, when I say criminal, what I mean is there are certain things that are called crimes and there's certain things that are called rights. A crime is when you violate somebody's rights, their right to not get assaulted, not get raped, not have their stuff broken or stolen, the right not to have vicious lies told about them, that kind of thing. What do the police do for a living every single day?
You described it very well. They go around breaking people's rights, right? They're criminals. I have no doubt. You know, I was brought up, you know, through the 70s and 80s where the police were held in high esteem. Not anymore. You know, since, you know, every time I've had interactions with those guys over the last 30 years, right, they've got it totally upside down. And that means they're doing it on purpose.
Now,
right?
Can I just give you a bit of context from Senior Police Constable Grace Hayden from verisure.co.nz, who I had on the show, who's a prosecuting sergeant for 15 years. And she said the New Zealand police are so corrupt that you will either become corrupted by them or you will leave. And she also told me that round about 30 years ago, the police changed their induction requirements so that you had to be physically fit in order to keep your job at the police. Now, people don't know that the vast majority of police work isn't about chasing criminals down the street on foot, okay? In point of fact, there's actually thinking involved with investigation, okay? That doesn't necessarily mean that because you're a little bit overweight that you can't catch criminals. Criminals hide. They draw suspicion. You investigate. You find them. If you're a very, very fit person, you have to spend that amount of time working out or whatever. It's a completely side issue. The point was, the police 30 years ago had lots and lots of detectives and people who were working for them who were good at their job, were good at finding criminals, were good at talking to people, and they fired them all. and now only the fit, healthy, young people with no life experience or skills are being recruited. And they don't teach them criminology. They don't teach them psychology. They don't teach them anything about drugs. And they don't hardly even train them how to use their weapons. They get 30 minutes.
You know, that's the scary thing. Like, you know, yeah, they made a decision to put those guns on their hips, right? They brought them around. So they're bringing lethal force to a situation, right? So if things had got out of hand, or if things had got, accidents could happen, right? So they made the, whoever told them to come around and bring their firearms was making sure that there was the opportunity for an accident, well, for someone to get killed. And remember, they don't have the rounds or the bullets within those weapons. They're not solids. They're actually flesh heads. Did you know that, Benny?
No.
Well, during my work over the, I won't name names, but I've been called into meetings and said, look, could you look at these for us, please? And they actually have rounds that will split into 6 or 8 shards of lead, right? And so when they, in your body, they actually spread out like this. Their rationale before that is, oh, we don't want to shoot through walls and shoot innocent people, but they'll aim for the body, the mass of the body, right? And if you get hit by one of them, you're going to bleed out, you're going to die, right? There's no saving you. You'll hit an artery, you'll hit the heart or some major thing, and you're dead.
They're
there to murder you, right? Those bullets are murder weapons, murder bullets. They're not there to just disable, they're there to kill you.
The whole idea here is that if you've got people who your police are shooting at, you can't allow them to live. Because living people have families, they have resources, they have anger. It produces a whole bunch of complicated scenarios if you wound them. But if you kill them, you can make up any story you want, and you don't have any witness alive to testify against you and send you to jail. I remember one time I was reading the... I forget which newspaper it was, but they had an article out there. I think this might have been in 2012, 2013, thereabouts, where 1,000+ New Zealand police officers, 1,080 or something like that, were charged under the law for violating people's rights, beating them up, raping them, swearing at them, threatening them, breaking their stuff, taking their stuff, kind of thing. Out of that 1,000+, only 2 got found guilty, and neither of them got any penalty in terms of losing their job. They moved police station down the road and kept continuing to operate. What that means is that if 1,000 out of 1,000 crimes committed by the New Zealand police, just the ones that actually were charged, and there's probably 10 to 20 or 30 or 40 times the amount of crimes that they commit, that people don't actually have the resources to try and take them to court, okay? That means that these people are completely above the law. That means that there is no law. That means that you are run by criminals. That means that you are slaves, period. The police is where order in the streets is supposed to be kept. If there's nothing but disorder and scumbaggery and getting away for scot-free for violating the rights of the people they're supposed to protect, there is no good cop. Okay, there ain't one. People say, oh, but there's good cops out there, Vinny. Why? The guy changed your tire one time out after he destroyed, I think, maybe 6 people's lives that day, or made it a little bit harder by giving them fines, pulling them over for speeding when they weren't hurting anybody. Every time somebody hurts somebody or damages somebody's private property, the police should be there to do something about it. Every time somebody doesn't hurt anybody or doesn't damage anybody's private property, the police should have nothing to do with it, as far as I'm concerned.
That's right. Well, So let's go back to how they made that decision. How did they make that decision? That someone in their ops room said, "Oh, here we go. There's this information about Mr. Bush." I don't understand how the. Oh yeah, I'm very critical of Jacinda Ardern, right? And the COVID lockdowns and standing up for myself and trying to be, you know, one of the people that stands up so other people will see courage in the community, right? So obviously I've got on the list, right? And I've never had a firearm in my life, right? I did hunting when I was a teenager and really enjoyed that, right? Rabbits and went deer hunting with a few times, not very often, but, you know, but I was, before my dad died, he instilled, this is when I was 11, we got a slug gun, instilled firearm safety in me, right? And, you know, you never point a gun at a human being. Unfortunately, these bastards that come around here, with their high-powered Glock murder weapon, with murder rounds installed in them, they are actually trained to point guns at people and pull the trigger. Right. That's whereas normal civilian people that might want to go hunting or use a firearm for putting an animal down on a farm or something, or just grew up around firearms, they have respect for those guns, right? And they know 100% you never, ever, ever even allow a gun to brush or be pointed at a person for an instant, right? Whereas these guys go to probably 2 or 3 days training and say, you pointed at that dummy or that cutout and pull the trigger. They are conditioned to pull the trigger at a human being, right? And of course, I'll just sort of touch on what they're actually doing to these young police officers, because they're being abused, they're being gaslit, right? Just like the masks and the mass formation psychosis, when you walk down the street, you saw another individual coming towards you with a mask on, right? You go, oh, there must be something dangerous around here, right? And of course, that permeated and grew all the way through society. They're doing the exact same thing with the bulletproof vests, right? Well, they started off with stab-proof vests, get them in the routine, right? A little little thing they do every morning. They put their vest on. Now they said, "Oh, you've got to have a bulletproof vest now, bulletproof vest, because you know that gun by that route really well, didn't it? You know."
Well, it's actually it's a programming thing. So
that's what I'm saying.
When you put on a uniform, uni meaning one form and one form, you are all the same as everybody else. You're the same as everybody else in those things. You have no individuality left, so you can't make decisions because you're not an individual. You can only follow orders. And what if all atrocities throughout the mankind's history really on a mass scale being committed by not dictators, not tyrants, not mad kings and queens, order followers. Those people are the scum of the earth. Why? Because they allow the worst scum of the earth to control and exterminate and enslave entire societies.
Well, that's how all genocides have happened, isn't it? You know, it's soldiers taking orders, lining people up over ditches and shooting them in the back of the head, you know. And those people would, you know, well, so that's where our police force are being conditioned to go, right? Every day they are told people want to kill you, right? Not verbally, but they put on their vest and they walk out there and all their friends or their colleagues have got their vests on, and so that's reinforced on a daily, minute-by-minute basis that there's danger out there. Well, quite frankly, there's not danger out there. I don't think people want to kill the police, right? I don't think people want to shoot the police. You know, of course, there are bad people in society, but why has this only happened in the last 4 years, right? How has the police force changed? How has New Zealand changed, right? Well, they have created a culture of us and them, not just police being the good guys, right? And and being part of the community, right, and we look up to them and say, look, we've got a problem over here. Can you help us out, right? Because as I've just said, every time I've asked in the last, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, they have no interest whatsoever in actually doing law and order.
I was just thinking about Jacinda Ardern after the Christchurch Mosque massacre. She says, we are them, or they are us. And now it's more like they are us versus them.
Well, they are. The New Zealand police see the New Zealand public as an adversary, right? And we're all guilty until proven innocent. And that goes on to this whole zero trust environment that's coming down the pipeline as well, right? So let's just touch on after the mosque massacre, right? So I got kicked off Facebook for saying something wrong, right? And I thought to myself, I wonder how deep the surveillance goes, right? So I got on Amazon and I bought a book, a firearms book, and it was called Modern Firearms Design. And it came in the mail. All right, But, and then that was the very first time these guys came around to my place with firearms, right? This is I think it's the third time they've come around with firearms. So this isn't the first time people that they've come around to my place. That a person that's not violent, right, doesn't have firearms, but they want to come around and intimidate me with these things, right? And so I bought that book. And then our friend from the National Security Investigation Team rang me up about 6 months later and said, oh, Nick, do you want to know why we sent those police officers around to your place and wanted to talk to you? And I said, no, I was in a good mood that day. So there you go. He said, oh, you bought a book. I said, oh, really? Do you know what year that book was published? It was 1927, right? I bought that book on purpose. I bought it making sure that it was an old, junk book, right? And it worked. These bastards fell for it. They're surveilling everything, people. They are watching everything you buy online, right? And, so that's apparently that was their excuse for why they came around here and talked to me after Christchurch, right? Mm-hmm. But as we remember, it was the Green Party that said, oh, the white supremacists, right? And they had to make a list of 100 people or something around New Zealand. And little old me got on the list somehow, right? But the police or the National Security Investigation Team, which is the spin-off of Homeland Security, created after 9/11 here in New Zealand, 2 or 3 years after 9/11, they bought basically a clone of Homeland Security to New Zealand. It's called the National NIST, National Security Investigation Team, right? And they're basically spying on everyone, right? And making lists and creating this profile of people that's what that guy was just talking about, right? That police officer said, oh, we were informed that you might have had a firearm. Like, fuck, I do, right? So going back to this guy, I said to him I said, you're pre-criming me. Oh, no, we're not. Oh, we'd be remiss if we weren't watching people. No, what they're doing is they are, we expect to be treated as innocent until proven guilty. No. The New World Order, or as it's developed since 9/11, is people are guilty until proven innocent. And that then is going to be built into a zero trust environment, the 15-minute cities, right, where you will have to prove your innocence having a passport type system, right? Or it'll actually go to facial recognition, right? You will be constantly monitored and you'll be given little windows of opportunity of a so-called trust, right? But if we allow these 15-minute cities to eventuate, they will be like the airports where you will have checkpoints and you'll be walking through photo recognition and maybe swiping in with your cell phone, that type of stuff. But so what these guys are doing, what the police are slowly but surely being conditioned to, they treat everyone as guilty.
That's right. Nick, thank you so much. Unfortunately, we don't have much more time left in the show.
That went pretty quick, didn't it? But, thanks for letting me come on, I hope people realise what's happening with these police officers. Like, they won't actually go after anyone that's actually a crim, right? During wintertime last year, we had a near riot here in Waiuku, right? There was a whole heap of people down there at the main street, and one of these ladies was trying to run over another person, right? I happened to go down to the supermarket down there, and she was an SUV, big four-wheel drive, and she was chasing people down the road, right? And then about half an hour later, because we all came around, one police car came, and it had a blonde 20-something girl in it and this other 20-something small guy in it. Their eyes were like saucers. And we watched them drive around. They couldn't do a thing. And then now the supermarket has great big bars on it, like Otara, right? These people aren't... There's only a very, 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 very few people in our towns and cities that do all the crime, but the cops aren't actually tackling it. They'll be around here at some person like me for disciplining his child and bringing firearms within 20 minutes.
I just want to say that's also part of Agenda 21 as well. Get people out of the rural areas. And if there's crime that just never gets solved and it's going out of control and like, how is this not being solved and stuff like that, when they know everybody who is doing it and is, I just don't understand it. Are you living in the city yet in a egg crate box apartment? Why, no, I'm not. That's why they're doing it.
Well, all I can say is that please, people, show courage, stand up in the community, and, you see my other videos of interaction with the police. You don't yell at them. I don't yell at them like I did this time, but, they are filthy bastards. They are. If they're willing to try and use relationships with children against their father, I can't think of a more lower thing. Or perhaps beating people up in Wellington and leverage and throwing New Zealanders into the metaphorical gas chamber of mandates while having their mandates removed. That's probably worse because they save themselves. They sacrifice Kiwis to save themselves. That's how bad these guys are. I'm listening to myself say that, but I grew up respecting the police. But this is where we're at in New Zealand in 2024, mate.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I just think Hollywood's to blame, really. If there's ever any bad criminal or something of that nature in some kind of movie, who's the hero? It's always some kind of a cop or some guy in the military or something or other. And unfortunately, that's not usually the case, actually. Normally, the monsters that we see in the movies are the police. They are the government. And I understand that in the sci-fi context, this works.
I know we're going on a bit, but hey, you were down and you went down to Christchurch. Let's just zoom back to Christchurch, right? Remember the days after that happened? It came out that there was a guy that picked up a shotgun and actually chased Taryn down the road. It was a good guy with a firearm. Can you remember that? You were there.
I don't remember that story specifically. Yeah. However, I did see an article about one guy who was walking down the street patrolling with a firearm after he heard what had happened. I don't know about anybody actually chasing Tarrant down the street, but still.
Yeah, so there was all these little stories that came. That's actually how I got really involved with, started paying attention to that Christchurch thing, because the day that it happened, there was all these articles came out, right, or the day after, and then they all got scrubbed. They all got pulled off Stuff and News Hub and all that, right? And everything was just forgotten. All these little things that happened or were reported on at the time were just sort of taken away. And I'm like, hang on, this is dodgy. This is dodgy. It's all hell, you know. I still think that was, I actually got taken off an aeroplane for wearing a great big gas mask, and these two cops talked to me for about 45 minutes. And at the end of it, I started talking about our little imported operative, Mr. Mark Golder, and how he seems to be covering everything Christchurch, right? Or it was covering, and they all but admitted that it was a cover-up. Hmm. So we can't talk anymore. Jacinda pays our wages or our salary, and they walked away, right?
That's actually an important point. We are raising money right now, ladies and gentlemen, on the homepage of thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Now, the reason for this is because it costs approximately $4 billion a year for the police and military budget of New Zealand. Now, it is said that if you can pay the police and military, they'll enforce what laws you want. So what we're doing is go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, donate $1 billion, maybe $500 million if you can spare it, and I guarantee you we will bribe them, all the police, all the military, into following law as a natural law. Don't rape nobody, don't hurt nobody, don't steal their stuff, don't trespass on their property, okay? You know, wouldn't that be great? All it's going to cost us, ladies and gentlemen, is $4 billion a year. Donate now at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Hashtag bribe all the police and military. All right, Nick, thank you so much for joining us today.
I've got a lot more to say, to be honest, you know. I mean, I've got the studio here now. I'm so busy. I've got all these other businesses running and all that as well. So I haven't got time, you know, to actually get this whole studio going properly.
Nick, it'll take me a couple of hours to teach you how to set that stuff up so that anytime you want to do a show, you can get it set up in 12 minutes. All right. Just like, I've got something to do, and then you just do it, and that kind of thing. You need to give people the weapons of war, and the weapons of war in the information age is the ability to broadcast, preferably live, so that you don't have to edit it. Because if you don't have to edit it, you won't put off the editing because you're live and it's already done. All right, it's out there, and then the police will come.
To be honest,
and visit
that's
you.
That's why I wanted to build this, is because you can't fight these people kinetically. You can't go up against these guys, right? You know, so you have to do it smart. You know, like the art of war, right? Information war, and that's what we've seen for all over COVID. It's the most powerful type of war, right? You have to. Ideas are bulletproof, and informing people to what's actually going on, and that's what you've been doing for years and years and years. Vinny, so good on you. You know, you saw this 10 years ago, you know,
years, but who's counting?
Any firearm or anything like that, right? You know, so that's the only way we're going to ever get anywhere, I reckon.
Yeah, that's right. So I'd like to thank you, Nick, just for doing your thing, because like all activists, we're not perfect people, all right, but we try to do the right thing. That's the difference between somebody who's a dick and somebody who's an activist, is the activist actually tries to do the right thing and screws up, and the dick doesn't even try. So thank you very much, Nick. You're not a dick. And this...
awesome! Nick, not a dick. Awesome. Okay. All right. Okay, well, let's do it again sometime, man. I mean, get it working, and there's all sorts of things to talk about, you know, 15-minute cities and the safety cameras that are actually photo recognition cameras all over our roading system, the supermarkets with the photo recognition, right? I think that sooner or later you're going to have a sort of a kiosk like the going for a passport system at the airports, right? And all that information, you won't have a vax, it'll be looking at your face. Is this person vaccinated? Is he allowed to come into the store? You know as well as I do, this thing's not over.
I was just thinking about that, the facial recognition. You know, somebody got Bell's palsy as a reaction. They're just decided to do the facial scan. Yep, he's got Bell's palsy. He definitely had the vaccine.
So, we should talk about photo recognition how they're going to weaponize the access to food or something like that, because that's what Foodstuffs New World, don't shop at New World. Can I say that? They put trespass me for 2 years.
Well, goodness knows what you can say on this show or in public anymore, for that matter. So, you know, it's all a risk. I think, telling the truth. And that's why the vast majority of people don't say what they think. And that's why they get depressed and feel really lonely and kill themselves. Because you're not got the courage to say the truth. You ain't got the courage to do what's right. You ain't got the gumption, all right? And there's consequences. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction, including inaction. So if you want to have a reason for your life, a purpose to exist, go out and fulfill it. Don't wait for it to come to you. You're just thinking about something. Oh, I want to do that now. Just go and do it. I guarantee you the universe will punish you for not doing it in all sorts of interesting little ways.
They don't want you to have a life. They want you to be at home, scared and timid. I suggest you do the exact opposite of what they want you to do. Get out there, show courage, show other people that other people are standing up, and you'll find that people join you. That's right. Not stay at home. Do not be scared. Do not be terrorized. Do not be timid.
That's right. And follow Nick's fine example and go and tell the cops to fuck off. Now, I won't...
Well,
I'm joking, by the way, for the police watching.
Roll that one back.
But, okay, what you do is you tell them, I don't answer questions. And they go, well, why not? And they go, that's a question.
don't talk to them. Just zip it. Don't talk to them. Because once they get engaged with you, then they're bound to find something to do you for, okay? But you also can give them the down thumb, right? That is not like giving them the finger. That is just telling them that we know which side you have picked, and it's the side of tyrants. You are not standing with the New Zealand people. We do not approve, unapproved, down thumb. So maybe, you could use that as well. But, you have to pick your moments, because don't be rude to them and don't run away from them, because they're predators as well. Do not run from them. Like, just quietly walk up to them and tell them why you gave them the down thumb. If you run away from them, they will bloody well chase you, okay? They're predators, right? So just look them in the eye and be calm, collected, and talk to them. Talk to them. Be careful what you say. That's, okay. All right, well, I'll keep on taking over. Should we wrap it up?
I've been trying to do this for some time, Nick. Now, the thing we want to do here, I do want to remind people that this is a listener-supported show, and it's been going since late 2007, early 2008, the Vinnie Eastwood Show, ladies and gentlemen. We've had thousands and thousands of people on this show from all over New Zealand and all around the world talking about all sorts of topics, the kind of stuff that nobody really wants to hear, the kind of people that nobody really has heard of, the kind of people that talk about things nobody really wants to listen to. That's why the Vinnie Eastwood Show does it. Principally because when you are really starving and then suddenly you see a picture of some starving kid in Africa or something like that, and you suddenly realize you're not that starving because there's something worse that you can see, no matter how bad things get, ladies and gentlemen, no matter how bad things get, even when you're sitting there by yourself, terrified with all the screens on around you and the chemtrails overhead and the nanotubes building a separate a nervous system through your body that can receive radio signals and turn you into an automaton, even then you can still tune into the Vinnie Eastwood Show and know that there is at least something worse. Vinnie's jokes.
It make you feel good.
Right? Vinnie's jokes, they're just much worse. Now, so thank you very much, Nick, for coming on us today.
Well, when I get the studio going, I will invite you on.
Oh, excrement. And speaking of which, my sponsors, HoldenHealthCare.com. He's also doing a biohacking healing conference coming up, ladies and gentlemen. Holden was David at hhc.co.nz, I believe is his email if you're interested in that. A complete biohacking healing course. 4 hours of information, take home pack, homework, a goodie bag to go with it. We're going to be having it in Auckland over the next few months. It's going to start, and there's a big stage production. We've got Matt Bowden, formerly rock star, freaking making the things going. I've got a couple of mates who are going to help me film it. We're going to be editing it, the whole nine yards. It's going to be big. This is going to be big, and it's going to be so fun. And you're going to learn those things about your body, your mind, your soul, right? All the inputs through your psychology and what have you. There's ways of hacking every single part of your life so that instead of being trapped and having a course that you've got to run through, you will have the capacity to control your own destiny. So go to holdenhealthcare.com and contact David about more information about that. What a shame. Our other sponsor, reopen.nz, is down at the moment. I'll have to get into contact with Henry about that. But the wonderful little thing about reopen.nz is that it's a huge database of freedom-loving businesses who want New Zealand to end the mandates and to reopen and have a free country. So a great shopping list of businesses. It was funny, actually, because David Holden was asking me, who's going to sponsor this this event, Vinny? And I was like, well, go to reopen.nz and have a look at all the health practitioners that have signed up there, and maybe call them. And he did, and I was just like, man, it's like a one-stop shop for pretty much any product and service in the country on reopen.nz. so I'm being very grateful for all of those people there. And at the moment here, River of Lies, the New Zealand Scamdemic, an investigative documentary. I'm editing part two now for Billy. And in fact, I might be able to play a little something for you guys. The first minute or so. It's not been, you know, it's not finished, but I'm going to give you guys a little sneak peek of this while we're here. Or in fact, actually, I cannot do that. It's on the wrong computer. I mean, this is my editing computer over here, ladies and gentlemen. This is the studio setup, darling. So, regardless, you can still see River of Lies online at riveroflies.co.nz, and you can purchase it for $20. So get yourself a couple of mates together, put your $5 notes together, purchase River of Lies, and have a good watch of it. The reason why it seems to cost so much money to make movies, videos, documentaries, and things of that nature is because you've got people who have skills that are incredibly difficult to learn, take a long, long time to learn, and even the people who've learned it and paid for it, often they're not very good at what they do anyway. So when you're trying to make a really good documentary, it does cost. You need that help. You need to be able to travel. You need to just to be able to eat or stay in a hotel or something like that, as Billy had to do when he went over to Australia to see Senator Malcolm Roberts recently, the firecracker of a Australian statesman who has spoken out against the COVID narrative from virtually day dot. So that's going to be coming up.
Don't we need someone like that in New Zealand? Come on. Where can we find someone like that?
Where can we find someone like that? Not in the New Zealand Parliament, apparently. But anyway, I digress. I'd like to thank you all very much for watching. I'd like to thank you, Nick, so much for doing what you do and being who you are. And same with you too, ladies and gentlemen and hermaphrodites. If you ever find yourself worried that you're not doing enough, okay, or that you're not good enough, but you're just doing your best, I can assure you, your best is enough. That's all anybody can ever ask of you. That's all you can ever do. And I'm very grateful for each and every one of you who listens to the show, all your wonderful little comments that you leave, all your words of encouragement. Thank you so much for sharing the show around and plastering it on your social media and telling people about the, hey, have you heard this guy's jokes? They're freaking awful. You should listen to them. You know, it's just... This is just a terrible show. Why do you listen to it? You have to fake it before you make it, they say. And so I'm just going to fake a really terrible show until I...
We need more people. This is how we're going to win, is having people on. This is real fighting. This isn't going out there and getting into fist fights with people or with cops or anything. This is information is the key, is how we win this, right? You know, and that's all we can do, is just get better and better and better. Every time Vinny comes on his show, he gets better and better and better, and other people starting their own shows and all collaborating together and building that information up, because we know we can't trust the mainstream media, and hopefully they're going to wither on the vine.
One can only hope. All right, folks, thank you very much, ladies, gentlemen, and hermaphrodites. The Vinny Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but so much worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinny Eastwood Show, where the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child-trafficking Satanists is Vinny's jokes.